You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
This gardening feature is brought to you by Harry Humans Garden Center.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, owner of Harry Humans Garden Center, and I'd like to invite you to come and experience some genuine retail therapy at our special garden center, where our friendly and knowledgeable staff are waiting to help you. Come and find the perfect plant, beautiful pot, compost, potting or specialized soils, products to solve a pesky insect or fungal garden infection, and so much more. We strive to have a wide range and fair pricing. We're looking forward to seeing you soon at Harry Humans Garden Center.
It's 10:30 and time for the Garden Zone with David Parker from Budding Inspiration and our sponsor, Jeremy Finn from Harry Humans Garden Center. Good morning, and welcome back.
Morning, morning. How are you, Sue?
I'm very well,
thank
you.
How are you, Mr. Finn?
Yeah, good, thanks. Yeah,
we both missed 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
The work is starting to get busier. And
yes.
The nursery's getting busier, so we apologize for that.
After the weather, and it's been wet.
Yeah,
so
it's been
wet. You will be busy.
As our topic for today is we're going to talk about spring, Jeremy.
Yes.
Spring is in the air. It's a bit cold out there, but you can definitely see the frangipanimometers are starting to get some flowers on them.
Yeah.
All the beautiful flowers are coming up. So, yeah, it's fantastic.
Before we get started, David, let's just put it out to your listeners. You can also ask questions on 072-447-8044.
Fantastic. So, Jeremy, your topic today is spring. We just thought we'd chat about all things spring, what the clients can expect, what people can expect in the next month or two, what they should be doing, I suppose,
definitely,
in that regard. So, yeah, you can take it off, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Even in your case, <what else? laughs>
I was just going to say, luckily we've had quite a lot of rain this winter. So now that the weather's warming up, people are getting really excited.
Yes.
We had a very busy weekend this past weekend. So, I mean, that's looking good for us and it's looking good for the season. So, yeah, it's exciting because, you know, you see a lot of things starting to flower now, or the, you know, up the West Coast, all the spring flowers are coming through. Seeing lots of photos of that. I haven't had a chance to get up there, but yeah, just in the garden, the things are starting to happen.
Yeah, so, starting to reap the rewards of the rain, I guess.
Yes.
Still quite wet out there. You drive around the mountains and you can see all the water still sort of running off the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to take a good month and a bit to run off. However, the weirdest part about all of this, Jeremy, is if you've got a really good garden with good drainage and that, it just turns on you very quickly. So
yes,
there's 3 months of this amazing rain and it might take 1 week of 30-degree weather and your garden already starts sort of suffering a little bit and the grass starts going a bit yellow. It always fascinates me how quick it takes for things to be start going dry when the wind and the sun pop.
I was going
to
say, the wind.
So I think as much as we've had a good rain and good winter, and if we're very lucky enough and you've got a wonderful well point or borehole, then those sort of holes in the ground, we call them, should be, the aquifers should be nice and full.
Mm-hmm.
All this natural water starts running back into those natural aquifers. So, you know, people with well points and boreholes in good stead. People with tanks, I'm sure the tanks are all fully at the top of the rims at the moment.
Yeah.
However, the problem with tanks, and I've always said this, Jeremy, we've had many conversations. I've got a client around the corner. I think it was a 1,500 liter that they put in purely for the drought.
Okay.
But people sort of think to themselves, well, you know, I've got the tank, maybe I'll use it for irrigation. And I said, no, that's cool. So we set it up and we connected it to irrigation that I am. Whenever I do this, I like to have council water with one ball valve that you can open for summer and ball valve. And it was quite funny because the lovely lady got hold of me, I think it was on Saturday already, and said, oh, my tank's empty. And I said, yes, ma'am, but remember, we've been running the water for 1 week from the tank already. And that's the problem with tanks. It's taken literally 1 week after all that rain and the tank's already empty.
Yeah.
So we've had to switch back to council water. And that's just how it goes. Remember, irrigation is a very, very specifically designed thing. Most rotors use about 9 liters a minute at the nozzle. So that alone, if you work out one rotor for 10 minutes, it's 90 minutes water.
90 liters,
but just that sprayer. And generally on council pressure, you have 3 to 4 sprayers. And anything on a booster pump, you can have up to 5 or 6 sprayers. But it's always good to know that. So it just shows you why tanks are not the best thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Tanks are very good if you are trying to save council water and you connect them to your toilets.
Mm.
And you can flush your toilets through them because you're using minimal at a time. Then they'll definitely last a bit longer. But unfortunately, I've always been an advocate I sort of have the point where a client says, you know, what's the price? I said, look, let's quote on it. But I think the cost of installing it when you can only get two, 3 days of water out of it for irrigation. It just doesn't seem to weigh up.
Yeah. No, I agree on the definitely using it for toilets. I think that's quite a bonus.
That's a bonus. Because, so anyway.
Yeah.
And remember, if you've got a well point, a lovely well point or borehole, you can always connect up to toilets as well. I still think, Jeremy, what I think we need to advocate for, especially as people in the industry, is to still be water wise.
Yeah. You
still got to look after the water. Although our dam's 110%, I think what's changed, maybe even more than that, I think at the moment, Jeremy.
Yeah.
What's changing, Jeremy, is that I've got this strange feeling, and I think there's been, you know, we keep talking about the El Nino. I've been reading about that. It's a whole worldwide thing, phenomena. Mm. But I think we're going to go into very dry, arid summers in Cape Town. I think we're going to have wet winters and very dry summers.
I think that's true.
So yes, the wet winters are great, but they're setting us up to manage our gardens. Don't plan your garden around all this water. You need to plan your garden around hot summer, dry winds, and obviously winds, etc. So I think that's a really good point for spring. And obviously, Jeremy, going one step further, irrigation. And you know, I love irrigation, especially when it's designed well. It works. An irrigation system that's designed well is you maximizing the water
efficiency
at its fullest. So that's the best. And I think it's now is the time for anybody who's got an irrigation system. You know, people wait a bit late. They suddenly wait until next month or halfway through. And it's 35 degrees and I haven't. You know, now's the time to just service, check, make sure everything's working and just get it to the point where you know it functions. So those are my points on spring, Jeremy. Anything you want to add in there?
I think what we can talk about is mulching. We've spoken about it many times before, but you know, with the hot, dry summers that you were talking about, and the wind, we definitely can suggest putting down that mulch layer, and that's going to be bark or wood chip or shredded, other things. Shredded bark.
Anything. The definition of mulch is actually any layer that covers the soil.
Exactly.
And keeps in. Stone chip is one, and I always, if you're really, really intent on keeping moisture in your garden, I'm always one for putting down a fabric, a geofabric, we call it. It allows obviously water to pass. It helps prevent weeds in your bed, but then you can put something over that and it's just it's like an intense layer to keep all the moisture in, and it really does help.
Definitely.
The feeding. I guess the only problem with the geofabric layer is when you're trying to get, feed to the roots. If you're using a fertilizer, it can be a bit of an issue. So what I would recommend, if you've got a fabric layer, is to use a liquid feed.
Yes.
That obviously penetrates through the geofabric and gets to the roots of the plants. But again, it's also choosing the correct feed at this time of year, Jeremy, to go in. And I'm busy feeding certain lawns that I haven't worked through winter, 232.
Yes.
We're putting down the 232 because, as we all know, the formula for fertilizers, NPK, nitrogen, phosphate, potassium, and the three is a high in phosphate, and phosphate is good for helping strong rooting and help any plant to have a bit of a strong root. And I do that specifically on lawns at the moment, so that we are anticipating having to maybe spray for weeds.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing you want to do now, and this is some good advice for spring, is to not just throw a chemical spray onto your grass immediately. The grass is still coming out of a very wet winter and a very dormant winter, a very cold winter.
Yeah.
So you need to encourage the roots of the grass to get stronger by throwing down something that's high in phosphate. Give it a good water for a week or two, and then you can start planning whatever you need to do for your grass thereafter.
Yeah, I totally agree on that because, you know, the weeds also grow when you put the fertilizer on.
Yes.
So that is why it's a good idea to fertilize first, wait a couple of weeks, and then any weed seeds that are sitting there, they're going to germinate. And then when you nail it with the weed, the selective weed killer, so the broadleaf weed killer, then you're going to take out the weeds because your grass does take a slight knock.
It takes a knock.
It's not supposed to. I mean, the broadleaf weed killer is not really supposed to target the grass, but unfortunately it does sometimes take a little bit of a knock.
It does. But it's like a human being. If you're not healthy, you know, a flu virus knocks you sideways a lot harder. If you're fit and healthy and you get the flu, you generally can get through it a lot quicker. So it's exactly the same.
Yeah,
Remember, everything we deal with in our trade is living. And I think people have to realize that. And I look at it in that regard. And you've got to make sure that you understand it and you give it its healthiness so that you can do what you need to do to it, I guess, Jeremy, if that's how we want to go about it. So,
exactly.
It's a good time to 232. And also some advice. Whenever I do fertilizers myself, I always use a fork spade. obviously you've got to watch for piping and electrical thing, but generally contractors should be digging those things deeper than your fork spade can penetrate. And it's always good to give a little bit of a scarification, that's called, at this time of year. It helps with the matted roots, and it also helps for the feeds to get to the roots a bit quicker. And a lot of people, there's also one small misconception that I have. A lot of people are asking me for lawn dressing at the moment, Jeremy, mm-hmm. for feed. And okay. I sort of explain to them it's not really what we use it for. It's not a feed. It's a lawn dressing is used to take out dips and divots in your grass. And you want to, if that's the only reason, and if your grass is a bit sort of low and you want to raise the height of your lawn,
mm-hmm.
Because remember what you're going to do, guys, if you throw lawn dressing down, you're encouraging the grass to go through a new layer of soil, which means that you've actually heightened your lawn. And I deal with it quite a lot where a client, like I'll come into a new house and they say, oh, but my grass is so thick. And you say, well, that's just years and years of lawn dressing, but also just allowing it to get that thick. So this is a good time of year also to, we've been cutting very high for the last 3-4 months of lawns,
mm-hmm.
but now's a really good time, Jeremy, to lower that mower. You actually, and this is sort of key to it. So, before you lower your mower, the feed is again the right mm-hmm. thing to do. Get your grass strong, get it high, spray the weeds, and then your very first cut after all of that, you go very low.
Mm-hmm.
Not to root level, but just above root level. You want to take it right down, and you want to get the grass to start growing from that point. So
fresh.
Yeah, fresh growth. And that's where you also use a rake, and you would rake out any of the matted stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You don't normally get that in Kikui. I find that it's more the buffalo that gets the matted
and that, you know. That thatching.
So, yeah, the thatching, we call it. So don't get lost in lawn dressing, guys. I mean, you can go to Harry Goodman's. They've got everything you need. But lawn dressing is more, if you've got a hole, you just allow your grass to grow long. And that's also some good advice, Jimmy, is let your grass grow long when you're using lawn dressing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to cut it as short as you can and then try lawn dress, because the key to lawn dressing is to have the blades of the grass coming still through showing. The soil so that they can photosynthesize and they can grow. If you give it a number one haircut and then smother it with soil, you're going to kill your grass. You're going to do the complete opposite. So it's important to know all those little details.
Yeah, no, definitely. And the other thing that's coming up now is the summer veggies.
Ooh,
so people
nice.
Are going to start getting excited with the tomatoes.
Nice, nice.
And so you can sow tomatoes now. It's
very
sort
cool.
of warmed up. You can, you know, sow seed or I think the 6-packs, I think we got some early ones coming through. But otherwise, yeah, it's coming in the next few weeks. We'll have all the tomatoes
very
in
nice.
Stock.
Always confess, Jeremy, it's not my strongest point because I find, again, herbs, veggies, fruit plants, fruit, very, very temperamental and need mm-hmm. a lot of TLC. You know?
Yes.
It needs to be someone who plants a veggie garden needs to check it almost on a daily basis in its growing time. You got to watch the bugs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A very organic way to do that is to look for them and remove them by your hand.
Yeah.
And give them to your lovely neighbor that you love. No, I'm teasing. You know, you can put them in a bag, take your dog for a walk, put them on the natural field if you're very organic. It's easy to do. I've done that a few times. But, you know, again, the thing about gardening, Jeremy, is when you've got the right balance, everything's there for a reason.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you've got one bag, if you're growing for your home and you've got one plant of tomatoes, you'll find that you're not going to have an infestation. You're going to have the one or two bugs that are designed to eat a little bit of tomato, help move the seed around. You know, then you're going to have the bird that eats that bug. So mm-hmm. very good to allow the garden to become as natural as possible. I do spray a little bit when I really, really have to, mm-hmm. when you get that real thick sooty mold, Jeremy, and it gets mm-hmm. a bit sticky. And I am enjoying the Koinor at the moment for, you know, aphids and mealybugs and scale. I find it's really good because it's a systemic application and it doesn't really do much harm to anything. So
yeah, that's one you don't spray.
Yeah. I just want to go back one point. You were talking about the lawn spray being for broadleaf.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to point out to people that as much as it targets weeds in the lawn, just remember when you talk about a broadleaf, every plant has a broadleaf.
Yeah.
A plant is a broadleaf plant
mm-hmm.
as a weed is. So when you spray, it's very important to find a day in Cape Town that is not windy.
Definitely.
Because if you do spray your grass and it's very windy and it contacts your agapanthus that you edge your grass with, your agapanthus will suffer.
Yeah.
An agapanthus is a broadleaf. Any leaf on a plant is a broadleaf. Just let people hear that because I think people get so misguided in that oh, it's only a lawn spray that kills weeds.
Mm.
Yes, it does, but it
can affect other
else
things
around the grass as well. So it's very important to spray at the right time. And something that we do, funny enough, in a very windy period is we take a 2-liter Coke bottle
mm-hmm.
and we
make
cut
a cone.
It and we make a cone and we tape it around our nozzle so that it's a very direct spray. It means you've got to spray a little bit more because sometimes I try and use a very broad spray to cover a lot of area.
Mm-hmm.
But if you spot spray, because generally I learned through your nursery, Jimmy, and I say I love Harry Goodman's. Still 14, 20 years doing this. I still learn every day, and there's something I love about my job. and I come to your nursery and I learn every day with your wonderful staff. But I learned that I was making a mistake as all in my years. I was only spot spraying.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very important at this time of year to not just spot spray, but you want to do a full lawn spray. And the reason that is, guys, is because you might see a bunch of weeds there and no weeds here. But if there's one weed in your lawn, then you've definitely got germinating seeds under your grass.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just do a spot spray on the ones that are visible, you will miss the seed. And then in another 2 weeks, you're going to have all that seed will grow. And you made the very valid point. That's also a positive to the feed is you get those seeds to actually grow.
Yes. So that
when you spray, you actually counteract
it. Getting everything.
It's very important, guys, on your first spray is to literally measure your lawn. Take your measurements to Jeremy and Harry Gummins. They'll let you know exactly how much you need. You basically need about 250 mils of super lawn weeder to a 16-liter tank. You can figure it out from there down to 5 liters, and Jeremy will sell you the right product, and you can mix it up. But remember, everything's designed to cover a certain amount of area, and that's why it's important. And just give it your whole grass to spray. I've been having wonderful results with it, Jeremy. I'm not going to lie. So
yeah, the super lawn weeder. Yeah, it's a good product.
Ones, definitely.
It's got three different active ingredients in that, and that targets different things. It's quite a wide range.
It is.
But I was just going back to the veggies. The other thing that people get excited about now is chilies.
Ooh.
And I think it's Kirchhoff have brought through I don't know how many new varieties, but there's some hot chilies coming through.
Scoville scale.
Yeah, exactly. So there's quite a few nice new chilies in, you know, the normal seed packs.
Yeah, yeah.
So we used to get from like specific hot growing chili companies, but now we've got them coming through from, you know, the run-of-the-mill seed companies as well are bringing those in. They've obviously saw that there was a market for it.
Yeah.
And so now we've got quite a range of the hot chilies. And, you know, people get excited about that. So
that's amazing. It's very cool. I've such a stupid note, but I've started really enjoying spicy food only later on in my life.
Okay.
And I absolutely love it. You eat and it makes you healthier. You know, it cleans up your sinuses. So
yeah.
It's very cool, man.
Do you have to put the toilet roll in the freezer?
No, but I've got to buy a lot of toilet rolls. The one ply doesn't work anymore. No, but that's a very cool. But you say those, are you going to sell them grown, and do you sell seed packs as well?
So we got them in seed packs, but I'm also going to grow some of them to put in pots and stuff. So we'll have that as available as well a little bit later.
Nice.
But the seeds you can start germinating now. Sometimes those really hot ones are quite difficult to germinate.
Yes.
So you know, you could do it with one of those little jiffy plugs or one of those things that it has the perfect ratio between like moisture, air, something like that. You know, if you had to take one of those.
This was like cotton roll almost in the older days.
Yeah, that would probably make it too wet.
Okay.
But, I mean, you could try and do it in that. But otherwise, they call them jiffy box plugs. And they're those little.
I've seen them at your nursery. Yeah.
They come in those packs of 25 or 48. So doing them in that and then just keeping those because it just holds that. It's just got a perfect, like,
balance, you know, ratio.
Air, moisture, and then obviously the medium that sort of holds everything together. And you'll have much better results in that. You could even put them in one of those little domes just to keep the temperature because they also like to be germinated at quite a high temperature, I think, like 25, something like that. So in one of those little dome things. Also will help the germination dome. So, but we're going to be trying our hand at all of those and putting them in pots, and then, that'll come through later in the season.
Very cool. Here, there was a weird strange thing talking about plants in that. If we buy plants from your nursery, and remember, you obviously have to look after them. You've got a slight shade structure, nothing major, though, just 20% or 40%, I would imagine.
Yeah, 40%, yeah.
If people buy that, should they accustom their plants to the sun in that first? Should they leave them in the six packs in a semi-shady area and move them in, or plant them straight out into the sun?
No, I think going straight is fine.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not going from like a greenhouse and then going into...
It's funny because I actually was reading it. It wasn't more of a nursery. It was more about plants that you buy if people buy plants in supermarkets.
Okay.
Remember, they're air-conditioned buildings with no sun really.
Yeah.
And the plants are there and you go in and you think, oh, well, and I actually had a few clients once buy... From Woolies, not in a really beautiful stuff, and then they put them straight into the sun, and they say, but you know, they took such a harsh beating.
Yes,
and I said, well, that's because they've been in an air conditioned environment that's no sun. And so you indoor supermarket plants, you almost have to acclimatize.
Yeah, then I would say put them on a patio,
And semi shade, let them get the real wind a bit, and then give them a day or two. No, it's fast.
The real
wind.
But
again, straight back to something we said at the beginning of the show. Everything's living, and you've got to appreciate that, you know, Jeremy. And something that's so funny, even in the trade, you don't think about it, but whatever plants you work with, you always got to understand the plant, talk to you, to your wonderful staff, and say, well, where does the plant come from? Mm-hmm. And the reason why I think the chilies don't need so much water is because I would imagine chilies are very Mediterranean plants, mm-hmm. very summer-induced plants. So, you know, they probably don't need as much water. It's like a bougainvillea. I've had this season's been – in fact, the last two seasons I've had, I've been backing the bougainvilleas in pots
yeah.
in the outdoors because of the amount of rain and coldness we've had, Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
All of them have gone dormant and lost all their leaves on me.
Yeah.
And now suddenly they're starting to come back again slowly with the weather changing. But it just shows you, because a bougainvillea is indigenous to the Mediterranean, full sun, not much water, not much rain. You know, they don't like wet feet, to be honest. So
yeah.
it's important to know what you plant, you're planting, and why you're planting the plant. And that goes from seeds, herbs, veggies, right up to trees and ornamentals and whatever you need. But again, you've got a wonderful nursery, and we can pop in and come over chat to you, and I'm sure we can get them the right products.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we've got the staff there. And yeah, you just bring pictures or bring your information that you want, and then we can talk about it.
Fantastic, fantastic. Cool. Anything else you want to add there before we finish off, Jeremy? We didn't even have a music break. Look at us, Jeremy. Give me some skin, brother, in the studio. Many people can see us fulfilling our obligations.
I think
you're rolling with it. It's just
We're rolling. Keep we haven't rolling. Seen each other for a month. We miss each other, man.
Yeah, I mean, the other things is the colorful annuals and stuff.
Mm, stunning.
You know, everything is looking really good. The pansies are still around. Pansies, as I've said before, are still, you know, if you keep them now as it's going into a slightly warmer environment, yeah. you can, if they're in pots or something, move them into more semi-shade if you can.
100%.
And then you can extend your life 100%. Because they're usually a winter annual,
yeah.
but the pansies and violas. But we've still got pansies and violas going on because they can go into the summer.
Yeah.
You just got to now plant them in more semi-shade.
Yeah. We're pinching them out to keep the flowers coming.
Exactly.
Keep the growth.
And then keep liquid fertilizing or something like that. You know, the seed grows, the nitrosols, the Nourish, whatever that you've got. And then the new ones that are the most famous sort of summer thing would be the petunias. And those haven't come, but usually October. So we're almost there. And then the petunias will be coming through. So people can get excited
again,
about that.
I love plants, Jeremy, because plants tell you everything you need to know about your environment, because you can see the petunias a little bit later because it's been a really cold winter.
Mm-hmm.
And we just spoke about this morning, it's still quite chilly for September. I mean, I was seeing my weather report that's come through for the week. I see it's 8 or 7 tomorrow.
What?
Yeah, I see Wednesday and Thursday are quite cold, actually. And there's
rain.
Drizzle coming.
Drizzle,
so
yes.
It's like we're just like trying to push through, you know. Come on, guys. Come on. But we'll get there. And once we get there, I think we're all going to be want winter back when it gets to 38 degrees out there.
Yeah, and I'm not so keen on the really hot.
It's the wind, I think. It's the wind, people. But anyway, thanks, Jeremy. If I can, sure, I'm going to give
my
name and number.
You must.
Obviously, David, Budding Inspirations. My cell number is 073-247-0351. And Jeremy, your landline number for the nursery is
021-785-3201.
And you obviously just passed Masipumalele on Komiki Road to the right. You can't miss it. It's the best beautiful garden center in the valley.
And you can go and have a lovely cup of coffee.
Oh, wow,
and discuss.
I had a toasted sandwich the other day. I was so impressed. I mean, I'm a big guy, and I need my food, and I was full.
That's
takeaway box. So props to your restaurant. It's going really well.
So there you go. You can go and have a nice cup of coffee and a toasty.
100%.
And a discussion on how should my garden grow.
Yeah.
Again, guys, I keep saying this to you, but in all fairness to Jeremy, I've got to let people know the knowledge at that nursery.
Yes.
If Jeremy can't tell you, he's got Doug in his corner. If Doug, then you've got everybody there has their strength and their forte, and you can walk away there knowing exactly what needs to be done in that. And it's a wonderful place to go to. Wow. I enjoy going there every time.
So,
Lekker.
There we go.
Thank you, Sue. Thank you, Mr. Finn.
Yes,
thanks, David.
Thank you for coming in. Thank you for coming in and sharing your knowledge.
Two weeks.
We did miss you.
Sorry. And in 2 weeks, will we be in September still? Two weeks from 16? Come on, guys.
I think then we move over to October.
October
that's the right
already.
Time. Can you believe it? So, all right.
Craziness.
Be safe out there, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. Cheers.
This gardening feature was brought to you by Harry Humans Garden Center.
Hi. I'm Jeremy, owner of Harry Humans Garden Center, and I'd like to invite you to come and experience some genuine retail therapy at our special garden center, where our friendly and knowledgeable staff are waiting to help you. Come and find the perfect plant, beautiful pot, compost, potting or specialized soils, products to solve a pesky insect or fungal garden infection, and so much more. We strive to have a wide range and fair pricing. We're looking forward to seeing you soon at Harry Humann's Garden Center.